Blog Talk Radio.
So, hello everyone, and welcome to the Access Possibilities Radio Show, Rediscovering the Joy of Learning. And I am Sylvia Puentes. I'm one of the ATS teachers, and I'm joined on this call by our other teacher, Simone Fedor. Hi, Simone.
Hello.
We also have Christine, although she might not be on live, but she is there with us. And we have a very, very special guest today on our radio show. I'd like to introduce you. If you have not met Miss Beautiful Diva Diaz, she is a phenomenal being traveling around the world. And she brings with us a special topic. I'm really excited to hear about more about what she knows in this area. But a little something about her, where she began working in the business Marina with economics and media. I mean, Diva, you've done so many things around the world, and now you're here to talk about an area that I think as teachers, as students, as parents, that I'm looking forward to maybe what the questions might come up throughout the show about what is it that you mean about unleashing your superpowers, and what can that contribute to us as teachers, as parents, and what can we pass on to kids in this area. So welcome, Diva Diaz, joining us today. How did we all get so lucky? How are you, Diva?
Thank you. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, in this area, when we talk about superpowers, I think one of the things I know that when I first read that superpowers, I all of a sudden think about superheroes. And it seems like, you know, in the comics, in the media, perhaps, but where and what do you can you share with us about this and how it pertains to us and kids?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as a society in general, like we're so used to just having things look the same that when something looks a little bit different, i.e. somebody's behavior or mannerisms or even the way that they express themselves or perhaps the way that they think or the way that they even receive information or communicate, we instantly go to like, okay, what's wrong with this? Like, what's wrong with this picture? Like, how do we get them to fit back into the box as quickly as possible? And one of the things that I have, well, I've kind of always known it myself, but especially with the work of Access Consciousness, is what if all of these differences are actually these amazing abilities that when you really start to harness them and develop them, they can be like your superpowers in the sense that you're probably not going to fly off a building wearing a cape, but they can be the thing that gives you the creative edge. You know, in a world where like, creativity is, to me, is really king. It's like if you're going to create something different, if we're going to start like being innovative, what you need is you need people that think in a different way. You need people that are just generally different, that behave different. And these are the kids that, you know, we're all aware of that perhaps have been labeled with several things from OCD to autism or whatever. And sometimes they're not labeled too. But yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
There's a piece you said, it's like, you know, that like when kids are labeled as different, how oftentimes it's seen as a problem and or an issue. And so now the invitation that I get, you're saying it's like, okay, what's the superpower of this difference? But it's almost like, what can parents begin to ask or teachers begin to ask as kids are having challenges or difficulties that might have begin to give us insights to what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that that question. One of the main things that I think, you know, we tend to do is we look at somebody and if they're not speaking our language, then we try and get them to speak our language. Rather than really looking at someone and asking the question, like you said, asking the question of like, actually, what's going on for this kid? Like, how are they perceiving this? What is this information like in their world? Because something that to us may be very, very simple, to them may be complicated in its simplicity because there's not enough information, but we sometimes get it back to front. Or sometimes something that seems super complicated to us because of the way that somebody else can receive information is not complicated to them at all. So I think functioning from the idea that we all have the same brain, the same mind, and we all function the same way is one of the biggest mistakes, which is actually, you know, messing up a lot of the kids that are having to transit into this box in different areas of their life, rather than what would it create if we started to ask for every single child, all right, how are you actually perceiving this? Like, how are you receiving this information? Like, when we say this, or when we show you this, or when you get this piece of homework, like, what goes on in your head? You know, I mean, I remember having those conversations when I was younger, even just with my schoolmates, because I didn't understand half the time what they were talking about or how they would get things that I didn't understand. And other things that nobody got, I seemed to get so quickly. So I was always really intrigued as to what that difference was. And I think the main way to start discovering that is to start asking questions based not on how you can get them to be more like you or be more like everybody else, but how they're actually perceiving the world and what that looks like to them. Because then that's going to give you an insight into the language that they're speaking, which then opens up a whole different dialogue and connection.
So, you know, as you were saying,
Go ahead, Simone.
So like, as a teacher, like, or parent or somebody like that who has a kid that, you know, maybe functions differently, what are some of the things, or what are some of the tools or things you would use to start to know the way they see the world, really?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's also a huge topic.
Huge question.
Like, well, I don't know. Yeah. Like, are we on here for days or no, but I love that you asked that, because often it's like, okay, is it just that there's one little area in which they have a different way in which they are, or is it like a much bigger thing? And this is where I think it really, really depends on every single child, every single situation. Like, it depends on so many things, and it's always going to be different. So there's really not one answer for that. But I love that you've asked that, because I think the key thing is to constantly remain in the question about everything. I mean, if you look at a child's world, they live based on curiosity, and that's how they learn. And I think we've decided that we need to stop learning and we need to impart our very wise knowledge onto them, which isn't always necessarily so wise. It's just stuff that we've been taught by people before us. So it's like, what would it be like if we maintained that level of curiosity? And it may be that you ask them a question, or it may be that you just notice different things. Like, you may notice that, I mean, this is probably, you know, I don't know, just a bit of a random one, but I remember in school being absolutely exhausted in certain classrooms, and I didn't understand why. I used to think it was the subject matter, and then I got to college and I realized it wasn't the subject matter, because it was still the same subject, but I felt a lot better in the classrooms. And then I realized that it was the fluorescent lighting in the room. And a lot of kids that actually have autism or Asperger's, that kind of fluorescent lighting can be very, very difficult to deal with, and it creates like this extreme sense of tiredness. So even noticing like little behaviors like that, and rather than, you know, being like, all right, you know, wake up or pay attention, just notice, because I don't generally believe that kids are out to like make life difficult for themselves or for everyone constantly. Fair enough, we all have our moments. There's something that keeps, you know, that keeps showing up. I think it's, you know, like, what questions can we be asking? I mean, even the difference of having a child that has that going on for them with fluorescent lighting, the difference between them using an Apple computer that doesn't use fluorescent lighting as opposed to a PC that does use fluorescent lighting can create miracles. I mean, I used to have a PC and I used to get so tired thinking, oh, I'm just tired from working. It wasn't that. It was the computer. It was the lighting behind it, you know. So, but remaining in that sense of curiosity doesn't need to be a consistent asking a question of, okay, how are you perceiving this light in the room? But it can just be this sense of like, all right, so what's going on? What's different in between here and there? And really, really noticing those nuances and working with that, so you can start to use them to your advantage too.
That's amazing. Sorry, go ahead, Sylvia.
I was just, you know, I was looking at some of the students at ATS in our math class, in our middle school math, and I remember when I started to get curious, like, how are the kids viewing this problem or this, and I started to notice how different they approached it and how different they got to the answer. And I got that there was a moment where I was like, oh, like, for you it's totally different, and this is one other strategy, and there's many others. But there was this moment when I acknowledged that there were different strategies to get to the answer, and none were right or wrong. They were just different. Like one of the students who had this kind of resistance to math, all of a sudden opened up. Like wherever she had made it wrong, that she wasn't following, the right strategy or wasn't, that had totally different, all of a sudden that changed. And so a little what you're saying, Diva, is that piece of like, also as teachers, how we can continue to be curious about children. It's like, well, what is going on with them?
Yeah.
And then begin to ask them and acknowledge that. I just wonder how much more ease it would create in their world to continue to explore that, like you said, or just not feel so wrong and different.
Absolutely. And how much ease would it create in their world to know that they can ask themselves those questions? Because that's really a key thing. You know, you can have somebody ask you questions, and right now it's, at APS, it's the teachers, and what an amazing gift, because if you can actually give the kids those tools, then they're going out into the world a completely different person with a different toolkit, where if they are in university and they are completely different to everyone else, it's not going to make them think that they're wrong. Like you're saying, they don't need to kind of like go into this self-judgment or a lot of the depression that you even see, but they can actually start to have that for themselves.
Yeah. I just, the piece about the fluorescent lighting, like when I was in college or university, well, just in general, whenever there was fluorescent lighting on, that exact thing would happen. Like I would get so tired and I didn't even think about it because I've had a Mac for, 10 years now, and I can work on it for hours and I've never noticed, but I remember just being so, so tired. So thanks for that piece.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it can also just be as simple as like you kind of brought up the topic, Sylvia, of even just not going into how something is wrong or not correct or bad. I mean, I remember doing we call it maths in the UK. Sorry, I don't know why we make it plural. But <it's>, I always find it funny when in America they say math. I remember like they would give us a problem and like within minutes I knew the answer, but I genuinely had no idea how I'd got there, and I couldn't physically put together the workings out because I literally had no idea. Now what I didn't know at the time is that you can work backwards from where you are to there, but I wonder, it's like if we start showing kids those methods and doing things in different directions, because a brain isn't linear. Well, maybe it's a little bit more linear, but a mind certainly isn't linear, and certainly not a creative mind, and certainly not the minds of the kids that are showing up nowadays. So if we were to explain to them, like, hey, in what direction can you do this? Maybe they want to go vertically with stuff. Like when I work stuff out, or even when I write, I don't really write from left to right. I sometimes do, but I will add in bits at the beginning of a sentence and then go back. It's a big muddle, and the end result is the same as everyone else, but my method to get there certainly isn't. What could we create in the sense of, like, these kids that are going to be the leaders of the future if they know that they have their own methods and different ways of doing things? Like, how much, how many more doors could that actually open up for what they're able to create and innovate in the world?
I've also noticed...
Sorry,
I was just kidding. We both love this topic, and I'm just noticing for myself, I think that's something that I recently acknowledged, because I'm not linear, and I have made that, or other people have made that a wrongness. And so I was, we were at a teacher meeting once, and I was like, I'm not sure if I'm bouncing around too much, in my math class. And actually, when I talked to the kids and I asked them, how's it going, they were really grateful. Like, it worked for them. Mm. And I'm also aware of one student that actually likes to do problems in a little more linear fashion. But the space of not making us ourselves wrong and actually looking like, okay, when does this work? And when does it need to be different? So for me, it's been such a relief as a teacher not to go into the wrongness. And then to give that, pass on that space with the kids has been huge. And then continuing to go, just in the question of like, okay, well, what else is required? Because it doesn't mean because I can jump around that it's going to work for everyone either.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so many people think that, like, it's like, what? You're going to let them be nonlinear? They're going to be out of control savages. I've not really seen that myself, to be honest. I would like encourage people to just try it out.
Yes.
They may not crawl up the walls. But the other part to that is that really with that whole linearity thing, I mean, if you look at the planet that we live on and the way that we are inherently as human beings on the earth, like when a baby is born, there is nothing linear about anything that they do. The body itself is also this magnificent thing that just regenerates itself, the same with nature. Like, it's really this ebb and flow of, like, filling in the gaps. And to me, that's far more how a lot of these kids that have these special abilities actually function. They're able to see where different gaps are. They're able to fill bits in. They're able to perceive things in a more dynamic way, which is often called sensitivity. Which I'm not a huge fan of, because I have to say it does often, you know, come with the connotation that you're a little bit weak and you should really kind of get over being so sensitive. I like to think of it as actually just having acute awareness and being, you know, hyper aware more than anything. Because if you're able to have that level of detail in what you are perceiving and the information that you receive and the information that you give out, I mean, if you were to actually explore that, what could be created that hasn't been created before? And I don't mean like you need to revolutionize, I don't know, the spaceship industry, but I mean even in terms of like the projects that you do, the homework that you do, like how could that be so much more easy if you perhaps, you know, if you have a child that's having difficulty with homework and it's taking them 4 hours to do one piece, which is exactly what I am like, even with my current job, like this goes beyond homework because you're still the same person at the end of the day, you know, as you grow, these things are still with you, you know, the way that you are in many ways. And to me, one of the things that I've noticed is that if I have a lot of different things going on where I can work with that kind of ebb and flow of creativity, of what catches my attention, of a little detail that I might miss over there, I can jump back to this. That creates this continuous forward motion, whereas when I have to sit with something still, it often creates this block where I feel like I'm frozen in time. And I see that happen a lot with the kids, and I'm sure you guys have seen it at the Access Possibilities School as well, where it's like, if you do have a child that's having problems getting stuff done, give them more to do. It's completely counterintuitive. It's against what we've been told, which is exactly why it works. Because if what we've been doing hasn't been working, then we might want to try a different approach.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I recently saw something being posted about the CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk. And as we're talking about this creative edge of, you know, when you harness your superpower, I was listening to an interview that he was giving. It's like, okay, what's different? Like, because he is out creating in things that haven't been seen before. And so, you know, in listening to him, the space of being in the question, like, kind of like, what else, like, what's missing? What else haven't we touched in? And the willing to explore that. And so I was listening to him from a teacher's perspective going, okay, what is that? And how can we bring that into the classroom, that curiosity of, like, what can we create? What do we know? And, I mean, when you talk about unleashing superpowers, I think, wow, what if it's not one focus and one thing? Because he's out creating, you know, out in space and cars and, you know, in many different ways. So is there anything you can speak about that kind of when you said to give a child more what to do, but also that thing where we've made multitasking wrong or...
Well, to me, multitasking often is like trying to do lots of things at the exact same time, which often is like you can't really hold a phone and cook, and like hold 17 things in two hands. But to me, it's the ability to like go back and forth, like I was saying, where you're focusing your attention on one thing and then your attention on another thing. And it's going very, very fast. But again, it's keeping that momentum going. I mean, if you look at kids who have ADD, we tell them that they need to focus because they are so easily distracted. Okay, cool. That's lovely. But what if we were actually to be innovative enough ourselves in the way that we think as a society to say, well, clearly this is a way that you are, in a way that you think you are distracted a lot more easily than all of us. So how do we use that to our advantage? Not in the sense of how do we use you,
But it's like, how can you use that as an ability? And allowing that person to work on multiple things often actually brings out the creativity in them, because you've got to work with somebody's natural ability. I mean, you wouldn't get a racehorse to behave like a cow, and you wouldn't get a cow to try and become a racehorse. But if you're working with what's natural to somebody, then you can always like explore those abilities so that they can become, you know, whatever it is that they want to be. But it's working with who they are, not against who they are, which is what I see so much. So often, like, we're invalidating people and kids by not being like everybody else, rather than validating that person for however individual, unique, and different they are, and really looking at, like, well, this is you. Welcome to your life. You're apparently going to be this way forever. How awesome is that? So how do you start actually using that to create your life from the very beginning, rather than initially just invalidating somebody and telling them that they're not the way that they should be? And to me, that's what asking the question is really about, because, you know, in Access Consciousness, it tells us that it's like, if you ask the question, you're empowering somebody, which is entirely that, because you're letting the kid know, hey, you have a level of awareness, maybe different to someone else's, and I actually have no idea how it is that you are getting this piece of information from this thing that I just said, but can you tell me about it, you know? And you're then putting the ball in their hands for them to go, oh, I have awareness. Even though you don't get it, okay, let me explore that. And then they get to know that they can start exploring their own mind, their own things that they're interested in, you know, and it becomes this co-creation, this collaborative thing and exploration, rather than just somebody trying to, like, push information onto someone that you're supposed to memorize, which is supposedly an act of intelligence.
Can I ask a quick question here? I have a kid who, they're a bit of a tricky customer in that they're super, super fast. And at the same time, they're missing a lot of the foundational skills that they require. So at one point, they're going at warp speed, but then they're missing out all this information. And it's this constant, and then they get frustrated because they have to slow down and remember to punctuate and, you know, put a capital at the beginning of the sentence. And, you know, and I'm wondering what else is possible, because they also, if I give them something else to do, then they hyper focus on that other thing, and then I've lost them completely. So what help?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because, I mean, even when you just said the punctuation thing, like, I thought that was pretty funny. Like, anybody that knows me knows how I'm pretty OCD. And one thing that I am completely OCD about is grammar and punctuation. But I don't go correcting it all the way through. I write what looks like a complete mess, and then I go backwards and I add stuff in. But I have to ask myself, how quickly can I do this in order to be able to do anything? Because otherwise, I feel like I have to slow my brain down so much. So that may be one thing to ask this child, like, okay, so what order would you have to do this in? So if you're not going to write from the left side of the page to the right-hand side and including all that in there, if you just put everything out on the page, how quickly can you get it done? And then if you go back and do the punctuation, how quickly can you get that done? If you can do that in 2 minutes, then you can go on to the next thing. And speed it up rather than trying to get them to, like, slow it down. Now, that may or may not apply to that particular child, but that would be probably a place where I would start with that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense for him, because he wants to do everything at top speed, but he also just wants me to ignore the punctuation. It's like, why can't you just ignore that? And I'm like, look, I'd love to. I really would.
Yeah, and, you know, like Gary Douglas, obviously anyone listening, he's the founder of Access and the creator of these really cool tools, is I love the manipulation that he does with kids, where it's like, okay, perfect. You can mess with that punctuation. You can mess up. Like, you don't really need to do anything for yourself. Like, there are always jobs at McDonald's. Like, that's totally cool. And watch how quickly they turn around. So, you know, it may not be that that's the example that you use, but be willing to play with them and make it ridiculous, because that's how their minds function. If they're going to be bored, then it's, as you guys know, as teachers, like, it's just not going to work. And the other thing with that, like with the punctuation and stuff, like I would just, I would ask how quickly he can do it and in how many different directions. Like, I never sentences from left to right and put punctuation in. Even when I edit like muse efforts for access. that's not how I can read. But if I go backwards or if I go diagonally and in just all directions and just spot the pieces, that's mm-hmm. how my mind does it. To me, that creates far more ease, because if I'm reading from left to right, I have to slow my brain down so much that I actually get tired and then I forget what I just read and I don't even know what I'm working on anymore. So just recognizing that these kids, their brains actually function at a much faster speed, and there's actually been research that has finally corroborated this, that, you know, Access and Gary's been saying for ages. So what you want to do is, if they are doing something that is punctuation or pretty boring to them, you know, mm-hmm. then in order to slow it down, don't get them to slow it down, but get them to do mm-hmm. it in a different order that perhaps challenges them a little bit more and it's just more interesting.
Okay, cool. I'll try that out.
The other thing
I noticed today, like, because we were writing in full sentences, and he was like, wow, why do I have to do this? And I was like, look, you know, you're way faster and way smarter than most people, and you have to remember that you have to write this down for the people that maybe not as smart as you. And he was like, oh, okay.
Exactly. And see, and I love that you said that, Simone, because you know what? We sit there and we tell kids, do this. Now work out, if I give you two pies and I take away half a scotch egg, how many whatever potatoes do I have? I mean, that's ridiculous,
yeah.
But you know what I mean. And the child is sitting there thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about or how this relates to anything. Some kids are like, oh, this is awesome. Like, it makes sense to them. To me, I was always like, what is going on and what are you talking about, crazy lady? Like, that was my point of view, but like my schooling. But as soon as they would explain stuff to me, I'd be like, oh, okay, you just need me to do this because otherwise you get in trouble because you haven't gone through the whole syllabus. All right, sure, I'll do it. Like, that makes sense. Give them the information, because it's like, how often, you know, if you were to walk into a store and someone was like, all right, you've got to try this on, and you didn't know the person, would that make any sense to you? Not necessarily. You might be happy to do it, but if you were like, hey, we're doing a special offer, could you try this on because of XYZ, and you're giving people more of a context, like, you've got to understand that everyone receives information in a different way, and these kids are able to receive a lot of information. So breaking stuff down to the like most minimum denomination isn't always going to help. It would be like me saying to you guys, you know, sure, and you're like, what? And I'm like, come on, I'm making it really easy. I'm not even speaking the full sentence. I'm just giving you one letter. I even get one letter, and I'm like, tuh. And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, so give them what you think may be more information, because what you're doing now is you're also actually honoring them as smart people. You're not treating them as like little dweebs, you know.
So thank you so much, Diva. I know we have a few minutes left, and I want people to also know that, you know, you're out traveling the world and facilitating classes on, you know, really exploring this topic of talents and abilities, and everywhere we've misapplied and misidentified that as a disability. Is there anything that you have coming up that you'd like to share with people?
Yes, we have a bunch of classes coming up. I say we because I work with an amazing team that is just phenomenal. We have a lot of stuff in Europe. We have some online things. You can check it out at xmenabilities.com, all one word. I like to think of these kids like the X-Men of our generation. So do check it out. And yeah, just see what might interest you. You'll know what's for you.
And I'm really getting that this is for kids and adults, you know, like as teachers, parents, just anyone really. It's like what that question of like unleashing our own superpowers and how that can contribute to our own kids, our students. So thank you so much for the topic, Diva. And I also would like to invite people to an upcoming class we have in June. It's actually a 6-session series over 6 weeks. With, you know, much of what we were talking about today, it's a book club series based on the book, Would You Teach a Fish to Climb a Tree? So you can all go to the accesspossibilityschool.com and look under the programs for the adult section, and you will see that as one of the options. So this topic is one that we like to explore, especially at APS, and really how can we empower kids to tap into all their talents and abilities and all of us as well. So thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll talk to you all
soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.